Today's daf is the daf of the goat. We're here on daf Ayin Zayin, and we're right on top of the daf, Omer Amim. So you will recall that we have been in the middle of a very important machlokes about what the din is of transferring a shtar that has in it liens that was due to a loan that was made by you. You want to give somebody else over the right to collect those liens. So according to Rebbe, we said, look, you can go ahead and basically you can go and transfer that shtar. So we said yesterday that the halacha was that you can go ahead and give it over, really, the shtar with the shtar on the shtar and the mesira. So in other words, you need to be able to define what it was that you were doing to be more than transferring a piece of paper. That's what we said yesterday, and that's not like Rebbe. So you need a separate document to indicate that the transference of the piece of paper was actually a transference of the abstractions that are included in the paper. Today, Amemar Paskin, that no, actually we Paskin not like Rebbe Nosson, but we Paskin like Rebbe. That Otiot Niknot B'Misira, as opposed to the Chachomi, which we identified in Rebbe Nosson yesterday, who said, if you're Meiser, but you weren't Kotev, you were Kotev Velo Masar, neither of those alone are good. You need to do an act on it, like an Ervik Kinyan, and you can't use a shtar alone, because a shtar certainly doesn't work on Metaltel and Koshikin. A shtar should work on a shtar. That makes even less sense. But you need an accompanying document that puts the Mesira into the context of handing over the abstraction. Here are Meimar Paskins, at least according to the Girsa we have, that the halacha is on the contrary, that you could simply hand over the otiot, and as Ravashi said yesterday, it's mad. I mean, why would a person think that you're giving, you've just paid him $500,000 for a $1 million note, and all you did was buy a piece of paper to put in a perfume bottle. Doesn't the context itself suffice? And he said, no, doesn't suffice. There needs to be something that shows the act, that the act per se is meaningful without our needing all of this additional information. So it requires a shtar. Today, Amemar actually agrees with what Rav Ashi tainted yesterday, and doesn't buy into Rav Kahana's response, that we would think it's Latzorah Pitzluchetov. This is the Rashbam's gear, so we'll go back to the Tosfos' gears in a moment. So he's paskening Kerebi. Omar le Ravashi la Meimar. Is that a Gemara that you were Mekabel, or are you just saying a Bitzad Asfora, which I said, because, I mean, Rav Kahana didn't accept Asfora. Omar le, I was Mekabel, that's the halacha. It's Gemara. Omar Ravashi, well, let me tell you, I mean, I think that it's really a Asfora too. I mean, I'm glad to see that somebody's got the right Kabbalah around here, but it's also a Asfora, because, look, what is the point of writing the shtar on the shtar? I mean, the otiyot are mili. Mili b'mili lomakian. You're not going to be able to do anything with the shtar anyway, right? So why are you writing down the shtar? Basically, there's two issues that we need to take into consideration in every kinyan. The kinyan itself, being an abstraction, would suffice. Perhaps. We see examples of that. I mean, there's kinyanim that are pure abstractions. Chalipin. I don't even touch the object, and somehow or other, magically it's transferred. So you see that there's an abstraction that people are able to handle that abstraction sufficiently that it becomes an actual transference of a physical object. But there's also non-physical objects. They're abstractions. To say that I'm transferring an abstraction with an abstraction doesn't make any sense. There needs to be some... The point of a kinyan is to bring a change in the physical universe. You're trying to make something now belonging within a different field. So if the object is physical, you could change the space. If the object is not physical, then the space has to be physical. So in other words, I could take a non-physical object and I can bring it into my space. I'll pick it up, I'll put it into my rishus, whatever. But you can't tell me that I'm going to deal with the abstraction and still make it a kinyan in the real world. That's all I'm saying. So what would be the case? What would be the meaning of making a contract for the mesira? If you believe you need the contract, then it ain't going to do anything. It must be that it's the act of the mesira that changes the physical space of the abstraction. So what do I care how you define the abstraction? The guy said, here, take the note and collect with it. Why isn't that enough? What's the point of writing it in a document? So mitzad asfora, the whole thing makes no sense to say other than Rebbe. That's what I think. So halacha should be like Rebbe. Now the problem is that the Geonim paskin the opposite, based on this Gemara. And apparently, as Tosfos says, there's another Girsa that says just the opposite, in which we're saying, like we said yesterday, that we were paskining indeed that halacha is not like Rebbe, and that ein otiyot nikdot b'mesira, which means that mesira alone is not enough. In which case, what it was that Rav Ashi was citing to Amemar now would be, well, it's also a svara. And I'll tell you the svara, because what it is that you're doing is transferring otio, right? You're transferring an abstraction. So therefore, the context of the abstraction cannot be defined simply by mili, which is weird, because here the mili means the mili of the seller. There needs to be a physical object, that is to say, a shtar, that defines what it is that's being transferred. Because what I see physically being done is simply handing over a piece of paper. What makes that piece of paper the handing over of liens? The fact that the guy said when he gave you the piece of paper, take the liens. Who cares what he said? The saying wasn't part of anything that is referable to in the real world, but a document is referable to in the real world. So therefore, if you include a shtar, that would be more than the mili of the mocher for the mili in another shtar. The complete opposite meaning, according to Tosfos. Asks the Gemara. Now, obviously, the whole Gemara is going to have two interpretations, depending on what direction Rav Ashi was saying. Asks the Gemara. So let's take this simple interpretation first. Okay, so Rav Ashi now is saying that a shtar cannot simply be affected by another shtar in any way, and you would have to do something physical now, and that's what counts. Only the physical act. But to say that if the physical act doesn't count, that a mili is going to be something is ridiculous. Asks the Gemara, is that true? The Amar Rabba Bar Yitzchak Amar Rash. There are two situations of the transferring of a shtar in a case of mechira. Suppose a man says to two witnesses, where the buyer or the recipient of the gift wasn't present. So he says to them, look, because of Zachin Shaladam Shalobafanav, I'd like to give this guy this field. Maybe the case is he transferred the money to me already, or the case I want to give it to him. But in any event, you go ahead and be zeicha in the field for him. Do a normal kinyan of a sada. So they'll go ahead and they'll be zeicha in the field with a chazaka, let's say, right? So he tells them, go ahead and you be zechu besadeh leploni. For the benefit of ploni, I want you to take this field. And then, kitvilo et ashtar. You can even write out a shtar mechira. A shtar mechira is always good for him to have. It's not very good for me, because shtar, by definition, gets out. The moment that a shtar gets out, next time I walk into my banker and I want a loan, he's going to say, well, here you've been selling out. Apparently you're a little bit tight, are you? And you don't have the same level of property holdings that you used to have when I was giving you loans, because I always knew I could collect. I don't really want that to get out. But okay, it's useful for this guy to have a shtar. We'll give him a shtar. I mean, the mice, we have witnesses and so on. That's why it's two people. We'll give him a shtar. So then they go ahead and there's zeicha in the sada. He can change his mind about giving the shtar, because a shtar can't be written without the das of the one who wants the who's going to be the one hurt by the shtar. So he could be chayzer b'shtar before they write it, but it's not going to change the dispensation of the sada, because they were already zeich in the sada. Since zachin shadam ladam shalom b'fanav, that's a full kinyan. There's no way he could change his mind about that. So eno chayzer b'sadeh. Now how about if he said the same thing to them, except this time he said, go ahead and be zeich in this sada, on condition that in the end there will be a shtar on it. In other words, although this kinyan is a kinyan chazaka, but it's with a tanai. So now the tanai is a problem, because if he's chayzer on the shtar, which he can still do, because the shtar by definition is only writable if the guy is willing to accept that you're writing it because it's against him. He's the only one being affected by it. The moment he says, no, forget it, I don't want a shtar, so then there's no kinyan. So then it could be chayzer, bein b'shtar, bein b'sad. Okay, so far no issue to us. Comes along Reb Chiya Bar Avin, Amar Ravuna, and he says that's an incomplete list. Actually, there are shlosha shtarot. Shrei, yes, there are two shtarot that you just listed. However, you don't take into consideration a third situation, which is quite common. Somebody's trying to get rid of a piece of property. He's got a prospective buyer that he knows is sort of on the edge. So what's going to happen? He's going to persuade him to buy the sada. And then by the time it comes time to sit with the lawyers and so on, the guy's, forget it. I don't really want it. So what does he do? He has everything set up in advance so he can pull out the shtar and say, okay, here's the shtar. That's what I want to make sure. That's all going to be impulse. Is there a problem with writing such a shtar? No, because it's not hurting anybody. The only one it's hurting is I, the seller, if I'm stupid enough to lose it and somebody and he finds it, so then I'm in trouble. But okay, I'm willing to take that risk. So there'd be no problem for Adam to actually sign on a shtar mechira that such and such a mechira took place. Because it can't affect anybody else but me. So you missed that case. How about in a case, idach, the third case is, im kadam mocher v'katavet ashtar. Supposing he wrote the shtar, you'll say, well, can he do that? Yes, absolutely. Kotas shaninu. I mean, look, we know that it's mutter to do that because it says beferish. Kotvim shtar lemocher afapish en lokeach ima. You are allowed to write a shtar to a sale that you have no idea whether it's actually taken place. And the lokeach is in here. In that case, I say, what is the issue here? The issue here is, again, the dispensation of the shtar. Can I say, when you went ahead and were machzik in the sada, I changed my mind. I don't want to give him the shtar. I never handed you the shtar. I never handed him the shtar. So the shtar is in my closet. You didn't deal with that case. That's a very important case, because surprisingly, the halacha over there is, kivan shechzik zeh bekarka, the moment that the lokeach gets the karka, nikne shtar b'chol makom shehu. That shtar in the closet of the mocher belongs to the lokeach. He can't change his mind anymore. V'zohi sheshaninu, and that is included in the famous Mishnah of nechasim she'en lemachrayut, niknin im nechasim sheyesh lemachrayut, bekesef v'shtar v'chazakah. In the same, now the Gemara understands this to mean, at this point, that in the same way that if there are metaltalin that I'm selling you at the time that I sold you my soda. So let's say I made a deal to sell you the soda together with a tractor. The tractor is parked in a garage somewhere that's not on the soda. The halacha is, when the sale is consummated on the soda, whatever kin you make on the soda, the tractor is automatically yours. So it's some type of subsidiary zechut that you have along with the main purchase that you're making, right? This is called kinyan aga. It's clear to us at this point, and we're going to challenge this in a moment, but it's clear to us at this point that if you're talking about something that has no intrinsic value, so you're a shtar, I mean, you certainly can't be kinyan with kinyan aga of a shtar because there's nothing being done to the shtar at all. At least that's what we would think. Because the agav is not going to be any better than just like a statement, and I'd like to include the shtar with the deal. It's also subsidiary. But if that's what it is, then it means that a statement is affecting the transfer of the shtar. And you, Rav Ashi, said, well, that's crazy. There's no way that a statement would have any impact on a shtar. Now, according to Tosfos, that means no way that the statement of the mocher would be sufficient to go along with anything else. That's perfect. Because here it's going along with something else, namely the chazak on the soda. You're claiming that chazak on the soda is going to be good for the shtar. But Rav Ashi said, the statement that I'd like you to have a shtar is meaningful, just because you were kind of a field. So this is exactly anti-Rav Ashi, the way Tosfos was learning. The way the Rashbam was learning, it's also anti-Rav Ashi, but not to the same, at the same level of persuasiveness. Here it becomes much more abstract. Because remember that the way the Rashbam was learning was that essentially Rav Ashi's taina is a very conceptual thing, namely that a contract is essentially an abstraction. A kinyan is more than an abstraction. A kinyan, the whole point of a kinyan is that it takes what was previously an abstraction. This is a sale. You now own it. What does that mean? It takes that abstraction and turns it into a legal reality in a physical universe. So therefore, there's either you need to change the space of the abstraction, or you need to actually change the abstraction of an object. But if you have something which itself is not an object, it itself is an abstraction, and you're claiming that you're going to make a kinyan with something that is abstract and not do any physical change, you haven't really changed the abstract dispensation of something. What did you do that was different than what was there before? That's how Rav Ashi understands it. It's much more conceptual. So here too, according to him, we're asking Rashbam, understanding of Rav Ashi, look, the act of chazak was not being done to the shtar. It was being done to the field. Whatever other issues are involved, basically they're going to boil down to, I don't care what you say, but what are they going to boil down to? They're going to boil down to the fact that the guy wrote the shtar, which has his name in it, which clearly means that he wants this shtar to belong to the buyer of the field. And therefore it goes to him. Does that make sense to you? That therefore it goes to him. Where's the kinyan? Rav Ashi, you said there needs to be either a change in the physical space of the shtar. You didn't touch the shtar. Or there needs to be an object. There is no object. So tell me what happened over here. How did that help? According to both pshatim, the Gemara now says a dramatic chiddush in what kinyan agav means. Obviously, the Gemara knew we're talking about some act on the soda that was supposed to accrue also to the shtar, correct? But now the Gemara is tining, kinyan agav is not what you think it is. You think that kinyan agav is some type of subsidiary dispensation of another piece of thing, even though I didn't touch it, right? So once I'm being kind of a soda, you know what? We'll call you the owner of the tractor. That's not how kinyan agav works. We're going to prove it. The way kinyan agav works is by taking the act that you did on the soda and applying it to the metalta. Because since the soda cannot be moved, that's the point of real estate. That means that we're including now in a broad kinyan the assertion of a reshus on an object, even though I didn't really touch it, because I can't touch the ground. So that even if I was mavzik in the ground, that's not the same thing as changing the space of the ground, is it? In which case, it means that I touched everything, so to speak. I touched the tractor, too. And I'm going to prove that to you. Because where is the laboratory case that we can test whether kinyan agav works by a subsidiary subsuming something in another kinyan, or whether it works by the actual act of the kinyan being applied to another object? I'll tell you. Brilliant case. The case where we have data, obviously that's what we're trying to say about the shtar, but where we have some data is when it comes to a madrash. matbea. Now you'll notice that a matbea is similar to a shtar in the sense that its intrinsic value is not its metallic value, which means that its real value is an abstraction. It's the abstraction of the coin being acceptable, and that is basically mealy, because what I see is a picture on the coin. It says United States of America, it mentions God, so it must be good. So therefore, I'm ready to trust this coin has such and such a value, right? Okay, but that's mealy. Now, mealy, one of the things that's important to know about mealy is you can't use chalipin on it, because chalipin doesn't do a physical change. Somebody gives me a handkerchief and I pick up the handkerchief. How does that change in the physical universe the abstraction of the value of a coin? So we know you can't do a coin, can't be kind of coin with chalipin. And surprisingly, you can be kind of coin with kinyan agav. Now that shows that the kinyan agav is not an abstraction. The kinyan agav is viewed as a physical act that extends to other objects. If that's the case, it should be kind of a shtar as well. And therefore, this particular case has nothing to do with Ravashi's assertion. Because Ravashi's assertion was, where's the act? Show me the beef, basically. And we're telling kinyan agav is showing you the beef. So now the Gemara wants to prove that. And says the Gemara, agav shining. And I'm going to prove it to you, that kinyan agav is not an abstraction. Kinyan agav is a physical act done across the board, not only to the real estate. Because the hamadbeah, a coin, which you cannot be kind of a chalipin for the very reason that it does not have intrinsic value. It has an abstracted value. So you can't be kind of a chalipin. Nonetheless, I'm going to bring you a raya that you can be kind of it with a kinyan agav, agavara nikna. And that was a famous mice. We had this mice. We discussed this mice so many times. That Rav Papa, remember, he had 12,000 dinar that he needed to collect from Bei Chozoy. There was no way for him to get the money because any time he would send a shliach there, they refused to give it to a shliach because they taina that if anything happens along the way, there's nothing to prevent you from coming and suing us. And that was the whole sugya that we had about this. So what did he do in the end? He needed to make the shliach the legal owner of the money. So he transferred the money to the shliach, was Shmuel Bar Acha. Akninu ni'alel Shmuel Bar Acha agav asifa debeit. Using a kinyan agav of the doorway, the entranceway, the ground, and the entranceway of his home, he transferred that to Shmuel Bar Acha, and he said, along with it, I want to transfer the money that's in Bei Chozoy, and they then gave the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, which made Rav Papa so happy that he actually went all the way to Tabach to make a party, which is halfway to Bei Chozoy, to make a party for Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, bringing him back his money, because he thought he'd never see that money. So anyway, but meanwhile, you see that even the biggest chashash, but these people were figuring out every way that they shouldn't pay back this money. So the biggest chashash was unable to find an opening in the taina that Rav Shmuel Bar Acha is a legal owner. So it's clear that the Beis Din supported 100% that the kinyan agav worked on the matbea, in which case, here the kinyan agav is working on the shtar, but that has nothing to do with Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi was saying an abstraction won't work on the shtar. And that's certainly true. The chalipin wouldn't have worked on the matbea. The chalipin wouldn't have worked on the shtar. So really, it's completely consistent with Rav Ashi's svara. It's really beautiful. It's so gishmak. That's not our sugya. We talked about that, how it is that they could come back, he could come back and sue. Okay, the next thing that we said, now we already know this Gemara because we had to have an explanation of the word antiki in the Mishnah, but the Gemara wants to clarify what are antiki. So the next thing we said in the Mishnah was avaloma charlot avadim, veloat amartzufim, veloat antiki. And then if you say I'm selling you the whole jazz, so then it would include the antiki. So what are these antiki? Omer of Papa, the antiki is the iska, the begava. The antiki is referring to whatever business the boat is on. And so that is, we assume like this. The guy's got a whole cargo, he's made a deal. That's an iska. So he's supposed to be selling this, getting a profit, going back home, buying new stuff, coming across. Fine. He comes, he arrived in a port, and he sees a guy who's ready to buy. He says, look, I'll sell you the whole deal. Take the boat with everything that's in it for X. I mean, everything that's in it. If you sold a house with everything that's in it, it wouldn't have included the stuff in the drawers. It wouldn't include your underwear. But with a boat, it does include the iska because that is far more reasonable. That's what the boat is doing. The boat's a business. I'm selling. You're buying. Buy the whole jazz. And enochinam, in that case, would include the antiki. Obviously, you don't say, ko mashe betocha. So then, of course, you're selling a boat. If you say, I'm selling a svina to you. And now, our dear president will announce the forthcoming fantastic... Not bad. Machar et hakaron. Somebody sells the stagecoach. Well, he didn't sell the mules. Mules don't pull a stagecoach. Got to be just a plain old-fashioned wagon. So he sold, maybe it's one of those Anna Green Gable kind of wagons, you know. So it's attached to some mule. So he's selling the caron. That doesn't mean that he's selling the mules. If he sells the mules, it doesn't mean he sold the caron. So machar et hapradot, lo machar et hakaron. This is commonly used by used car dealers. I sold you the car. I never sold you an engine, you know, kind of thing. So the same thing would be true if machar et hatzemed. Of course, nowadays, tzemed has clearly come to mean the group itself and not just that which connects the group. You know, so you've got the tzemed reim, it's because they're a lahaka. It's a group that goes together. You couldn't sell the Beatles without selling the Beatles and just sell the rights to the recordings, right? So that's nowadays. But it used to be that a tzemed was a reference to the yoke that you put the team in. In modern terms, we call the tzemed a team, not a yoke. But if you distinguish between yoke and team, so then if you sell the tzemed, you did not sell the team of animals that work under the tzemed. If you're machar tzabak, and obviously this is all local usage oriented, Gemara is going to ask, what local usage is the Mishnah referring to? But if you're machar tzabakar, lo machar tzemed. The real important part of our Mishnah, which is applicable in any circumstances, whatever the local usages are, is this machlokas. We've referred to it many times. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hadamim. Modin. Rabbi Yehuda says, in all such cases, look at the money. I mean, everybody knows that's a ketzad. Amarlo machorli tzimdechava 200 zuz. The guy's willing to pay 200 zuz for a tzemet. Now, nobody pays 200 zuz for a piece of wood that hooks animals together. 200 zuz is the price that you pay for a team of animals that work with the physical yoke. So the context is itself explanatory as to the intent. You cannot bring proof from value to content. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question about how that relates to dinei ona'ah. Don't the dinim of ona'ah essentially say that a deal is always based on the money that's being transferred? If the money doesn't make sense, so then there's no deal. And here the Chachamim seem to say there's a deal, there's no problem. And, you know, that's what you paid for the yoke itself, without paying for the animals. How does that work? That we'll see. So, So the first thing, obviously, the first thing that we need to figure out is the context of the Mishnah, because it's completely contextual in terms of local usage. And therefore, we want to bring a braita that says the exact opposite of the Mishnah, so that we can get down to the brass tacks of the context. So indeed, we have a maisa in which Rav Tachlifa bar Ma'arava, who was a Tana, remember that a Tana means a repository, it's a database. He would say over these braita, and he was saying it over to Rabbi Avu. So one of the things that Brighton he says over is as follows. Macharat ha-karon, macharat ha-pradon. Which, of course, Rabbi Avu said, what? The mission says the exact opposite. We are non lo machart non. So Rav Tachlifa bar Ma'arava asked him, okay, does that mean I should delete? So that's exactly what they do. They would press delete if it's a mistake. And that was the point. Saying it over was also to make sure that the girsa was correct. So he said, Ismaye, do I press delete? Amalei lo. What you'll have to say is that the context is important, and the targem matnitech be'adukinbo. What you can say is that perhaps what the Braita is referring to is a case where a karon is standing with the pradot, and somebody says, I'll sell this karon to you. In that case, since it's standing there with the parot, it's understood that the parot are included. But how about, I mean, machar tzemed lo machar tabakar, what's the case? Echidami. I mean, some places call the tzemed a tzemed and a bakar and a bakar. I mean, if that's the case, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that if somebody says, I'm going to sell you A, that he's not selling you B. So, echidami. Even the kori li tzimda tzimda lo bakar bakar. So, obviously, pshita tzimda zavinle, bakar lo zavinle. You said exactly what you meant. You said, I'm selling you a piece of wood that hooks together two animals. How much clearer can you make it? So, if that's the language, that's the language. If you're in a place where the language tzemed includes bakar, so then obviously the halakha is patently absurd. Why could he have a right to turn around and say, well, I only said a tzemed, and you know, technically a tzemed might mean just a piece of wood that hooks together animals. You look at him like he's crazy. Everybody knows what a tzemed means. So therefore, if it's in a case, ela dekarle nami lebakar tzimda. So then if you include the word bakar and the word tzemed, so then how can you come back and say, I didn't want to sell you the whole thing? So then you did sell him the whole thing. Kulei zominle. So again, the question over here is, we're trying to set up a situation where we get to the meat of the problem, and that is, does the money provide a context? So clearly we're talking about an atra, the korelei letzimda tzimda ula bakar bakar, the ikanami, the korele bakar tzimda. Clearly there are some people who would even use the word tzemed to include the bakar. Since now there is an element of ambiguity in the nature of the sale, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. If something is ambiguous, so then the money clears up the ambiguity. Very reasonable thing. So Rabbi Yehuda savar, hadamim modi'in, v'rabbanat savre, ein hadamim raya. And therefore you'd have to say that amotzi mechavero, olav araya, and so on. As long as there's a level of ambiguity in the sale. Says the Gemara, but that doesn't make any sense. Because if you're telling me that we should ignore the Dhamim, so then we're back to the case of Ona'a. So why is it this Ona'a? And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, well, everybody knows you don't pay that amount of money. So if everybody knows you don't pay that amount of money, there should be no sale at all. If you're telling me that that doesn't prove that I was ready to sell you my beloved bakar just because you're giving me enough money for the bakar, okay, so there's no sale at all. So lavi bitomeka. So why not just cancel it? And the etachachamim say, well, you didn't get the bakar. We didn't get the bakar. You get anything. It's clearly the whole thing is insane. So for chitema, maybe you'll taina that bitomeka the rabbanan letlahu. Maybe the rabbanan don't hold of the concept of bitomeka. Now, this is the way the Rashbam was makabel from his Rabbeim to learn the Gemara. In the end, he says, I don't like this pshat, we'll see. But the way it was makabel was the pashtus of what the Gemara is saying. All the Rabbanan had said is that it's a good sale. They never said you can't get the overpriced part of it back. So that's fair to say. You'll say, but wait a minute. I mean, this is way above the shtus. It's way above 1/6. And if it's above 1/6, then there's not even a sale because it's bitomeka. So maybe you'll tie to the Rabbanan hold of ona'a, but they don't know the bitomeka. Doesn't matter how much it was. The most you could do is you get your money back. But you can't just say, forget it. I don't go in for fraud. I don't want the whole thing. Maybe. The low is, I can't tina that, you know what, I don't want the whole deal. The most you could do is you could say, well, I clearly overpaid, so give me back the money I overpaid. The difference. Maybe that's what the Rabbanan hold. Is that true? The low? You're trying to tell me the Rabbanan don't hold a bit of Mecca? But it's not Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Hamulcher Sefer Torah. Behima umargalit ein lehem ona'a. If somebody sells out over there, there's a whole list of the Mishnah, if you recall, of things that there's no din of ona on, like karka, avodim. So as Rabbi Yehuda says, well, selling things that can't be defined as having a particular value. You sell a Sefer Torah. I mean, what are you going to say? Sefer Torah is worth X, Y, or Z. Sefer Torah is defined by your relationship to it. I mean, if somebody says, I want to sell the Sefer Torah for less than $1 million, what are you going to say? How can you say such an insane thing? Well, Sefer Torah can't be worth that to you. And when it comes to things that need teaming, this is a tremendous chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a particular animal that works well and you need more than one, it has to be teamed with an equivalent animal. You can't mix a radial animal with an old-fashioned animal, you know. So then you can't mix a steel radial with a polyester radial, obviously. So over there, I'm willing to pay more money because basically this animal represents to me a team. It's not. Same thing is true of specific stones and pearls. If you're in the business, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, it's almost the same. Try selling a beautiful diamond necklace where it's almost the same. Has to be matched. Or a pearl necklace. Has to be matched. Or let's say you sell furs. There might be people who sell fur. No. What are you going to do? Yeah. You're not going to mix. Don't have to match. There you go.
But that's not what
we have it straight from the beaver's mouth.
It's
okay. So in such cases, you can overpay. And it's not called overpayment. Omru lo. So the Chachamim said, no, that's not true. Lo omru ela et elu. It's only those things that the Torah said, those things don't have ona'a, but everything else does. Says Rashbam, yeah, and what's that proof? I thought you said we were never had any concern about that they don't hold of ona'a. We just told they don't have bitomeka. Where does this say bitomeka? All it says is that dinim of ona'a apply, meaning you can get your money back. But doesn't say that you could be bavato the mecca. I do not understand how they can prove that this includes bitomeka. All you prove from here is that there's ona'a. My rabbeim claim that what the rabbanon are saying is that all dinim of ona'a apply nu. I mean, you could certainly argue on that. Therefore, I say the meaning of the sugya is ein lehem bitomeka is simply another way of saying ein lehem ona'a, not ein bitomeka. The reason we say bitomeka is because the ultimate proof of ona'a is it destroys the whole mecca. They don't even hold that there's any taina on the sale. They don't hold that you can explain that this is what you wanted and you don't want something else for this price, right? Maybe you'll say that. In which case, over here, the guy thought he was buying X. Now it turns out he's buying Y. I'm buying a team of animals. Instead, you're telling me I'm buying a piece of wood. So, I mean, that should certainly be the ultimate on the arm. I mean, forget about the value of it. I mean, the whole thing is a mechatos. It's not what I wanted to. They don't hold to that. I, says the Rashbam. What do you mean? But it's a pasuk in the Torah, you know. The pasuk in the Torah, says the Rashbam, would simply mean that someone who cheats has a chi of the oraisa of giving back the money that he cheated about. Nowhere does it say that it's din innate in the legalities that are recoverable in court, in which there's a point in which a guy can say, I didn't want the sale, and so none of that applies. A deal is a deal. You agreed to something. You can't say, I thought. Why did you think? You knew that it was going to come to court. You had some kind of proof for what you thought. Maybe that's what the Rabbanan said. So if that's the case, then indeed the Braita, where they say to Rabbi Yudah, no, there is Ona'a if it's not Karka. If it's not Avod, if it's not Shtar, there is Ona'a. So then that means that they certainly do not hold you, ignore the Ona'a. In which case, in this case, how could they say that it's a good sale? Once they hold the dinim of Ona'a, they hold the dinim of Ona'a. Elamai, ein adomim raya diktani. When they're saying that the damim is not a raya, what they're saying is, the damim is not a raya to the nature of the sale. That I meant to include, because you paid so much money, I meant to include the bakar. But they certainly don't mean to say that you can't come back and claim that the whole thing is a mistake. You could certainly come back and say, Davi bitomeka. See, even though they said the words, lo machar et atzemet, lo machar et habakar, which is mashma, that you were mocher the other one, that's not what they mean. They just simply mean the mecca as it is a mecca. What you were talking about was the tzemet, not the bakar. Now, you want a taina? Now let's look into it. Fine, look into it. Maybe it's bitomeka. Maybe if it's less than shtus, you get your money back. I'm not coming to discuss that issue. Or, you know what? He bite ema. You could say another point. You could say that's the whole issue. If Rabbi Yehuda is saying, well, everybody knows that it can't mean that, so then we agree with you. You're right. Everybody knows. But that doesn't mean that we construe everybody knows, and therefore what was meant over here was clearly on the part of the seller to sell you the animal, just because everybody knows. The way we read it, if there's a din of a motzi mechaver olav araya, why not say the opposite? It's definitely not ona'a, because ona'a is only where a person makes a mistake. Now, since you yourself, Rabbi Yehuda, said everybody knows, exactly, the buyer also knew. So what are you telling me? Well, but the buyer construed it to think that, well, that would prove that I'm buying the bakar. No, the buyer was actually trying to give this guy a gift. And therefore, since he clearly knew he wasn't really buying it, Semet, for 200 zuz, it must be that he meant to give it to him as a gift. Now they got into an argument, and now he's angry at the guy. He doesn't want to give him a gift. So now he's come to court, and he's claiming this is crazy. The guy, it's outrageous. He overcharged me. He didn't overcharge you. So there's just as much reason, as far as we're concerned, to say that it's not ona'an. There's another explanation that to say that it is ona'an. For the very fact that you said that it can't mean that he made a mistake. So you're saying, but he made another mistake. He thought it included something else. Maybe. Prove it. That's certainly not, ipso facto, a mistake. And therefore, we taina ki omer rabbanon ona'a ubitul mekach. All of these dinim of Oinoa and Bitomeka is only Bichdesh Adat To'a. It's only to the extent that a normal person could possibly make an error like that. Ava Bichdesh Ein Adat To'a. If you're talking about something that is not a reasonable error, so then, lo, there's no dinim of Oinoa and Bitomeka at all. Because I have just as much reason to say, Emor Matanaya Evlai. How do we know it wasn't a gift? So now, a person comes back and has a taina about something that was done, you can't undo something you did unless you had clear witnesses. But we certainly don't have an Anan Sahada here. And therefore, you're stuck with the damim not being a raya. And if they're not a raya, then they're not even a taina vona'a either. Omra Meimar Hilchata Otiyot Niknot B'Misira Karabi. Omra Ravashila Meimar. Is that a Gemara or a Svara? Omra Gemara. Omra Ravashila, well, it's also a Svara. Because otiyot are mili ninu, mili b'mili lo mikni. Velo, ve'omar rabba bar yitzchak amar rav, shnei shtarote. You say to two people, zechu b'sode zu l'ploni, and then kit velo et ashtar. You could still have charot about the shtar, but of course, eino chozer b'sode. But if you made it conditional, al manat shetichtu velo et ashtar, then since you could be chozer b'shtar, you could be chozer b'im b'shtar b'im b'sode. Reb Chiya bar Rabin Amar Ravuna says, you're missing one case. There's really shloshar shtarotein, trei havi amoran, and then the third case would be, im kadam amolcher v'katav et ashtar, which is perfectly okay, ki otash shaninu kotvim shtar lamolcher apa pishen lokeach imo, that there the halacha would be, I say, that kimen shechzik ze bekarka nikne shtar b'chom akam shohu, because this is included in the Mishnah. Zuish shaninu, nechasim shein la machrayut, niknin, im nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut, b'kesef u'shtar v'chazakah. No. Agav is not the equivalent of an abstract kinyan. Agav is a physical kinyan. And nonetheless, it's nikra agav karka, and I'll prove that. Ki other of papa have like tracer office is a bechuzoi. Akninu ni alele rishum baracha agav asif for the beite, and then kiata nafik leape atavo. Avolom achar lo atavadim lo atamar tzufim lo atantiki. My antiki, amr of papa isker to begava. Macharata karon lo macharata pradot, macharata pradot lo macharata karon. Macharata tzemed lo macharata bakar, macharata bakar lo macharata tzemed. Rabbi Yehuda omer, hadamim modim, ketzav. Omar lo mechor litzim decha b'matayim zuz. Hadavar yadua, she'in hatzemed b'matayim zuz. V'chachamim omrim, in hadamim raya. Toni rif tachlifa bar ma'arav akamed Rabbi Avuhu. Macharata karon, macharata prodot. What? V'anan lo macharatnan. Omar lo blip, omar lo lo. Titagem matnitech be'aduk in bo. Macharata tzemet lo macharata bakar echidami. Ilem de korla tzimda tzimda. Ula bakar bakar. Well, obviously, then shita tzimda zavinle. Bakar lo zavinle. And if korla nami la bakar tzimda, so then korla zavinle. Lo tzricha ba'at de korla la tzimda tzimda la bakar bakar, but ikanami de korla bakar tzimda. So now the question is, can you address ambiguity by the money? So Rabbi Yehuda sofer adamim odi'im, Rabban and Savri, ain't other mimraya. Wait a minute, but he ain't other mimraya. So then there's no sale. So then lavi bitumeka. And don't try to tell me that he tema, that the Rabban don't hold there is such a thing in bitumeka for Rabban and Letla, because the dinim of Ono don't apply perhaps. Velo, vatan rebiram ramokha sefator beima, umargalit, elemona, amru lo. No. That's going too far. Lo amru ela et elu karka vodim storos, but all other things. Do have ona'a? Well, that maybe that's what's meant. Eina damim raya nami diktani means that now it's open even the bitumeka. The ibayit ema ki omur rabbanan ona'a bitumeka. Of course, but that's only bichdei shadat to'ah. But in this case, everybody knows. In which case, it's a bichdei shadat to'ah. There lo. Why? Because emur matana yayiv le memela. Unless you can prove it, you can't have charata.